Is that ball? Mutual presents Hit That Ball, the nation's radio baseball game with Stan Lomax, well-known radio sports commentator, as umpire.
Ice cold, Green, get your ice cold, Green. Get your scorecard here, can't find a game without a scorecard. Get your scorecard over here.
Hit That Ball is question and answer baseball with famous players and experts and all the thrills and excitement of a real game. Tonight it's the Chicago White Sox versus a picked team of Yankee sports writers. Here in our mutual ballpark in New York City is a large diagram of a baseball diamond and a scoreboard. Players will draw questions, and correct answers will count as hits. The players moving around the diamond just as they do in a real baseball game. Stan Lomax will be our umpire, and his decisions will be final. But it's nearly game time. The ballpark is packed, and here comes an announcement on the public address system.
The mutual game for tonight, the Chicago White Sox versus the Yankee sports writers.
Both teams have trotted onto the field. The pitchers are warming up in the bullpen. I see Tom Slater out by home plate talking to Stan Lomax. Let's join him. All right, Tom Slater.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The game is nearly ready to start, and here's Stan Lomax to give the players their final instructions before the call, play ball.
All right, fellas. Now, the rules are few and simple. We have three types of questions. First, the single question, which is good for a base hit. The question has two parts to it. You have the privilege of trying to stretch your hit into a two-bagger by answering the second part. But remember, you can be thrown out if you miss on that second part. The third type of question is the old cleanup wallop, a home run. Anytime you miss a question, you're out. Three outs, and the other team gets its turn at bat.
Tonight for the Chicago White Sox, manager Jimmy Dykes, coach Muddy Rule, coach Billy Webb. For the Yankee sports writers, Jimmy Kahn of the New York Sun, Sid Mercer of the New York Journal American, Arthur Patterson of the New York Herald Tribune. The Chicago White Sox versus the Yankee sports writers. Umpire Stan Lomax has slipped on his chest protector and mask and taken his position behind the catcher. Tom Slater is behind the pitcher. And here comes that familiar cry.
Play ball!
The game is on, and Jimmy Dykes, manager of the Chicago White Sox, is the first man to come to bat. And just before the first pitch comes down the old alley, we'll ask just a couple questions of the MGR of the Chicago White Sox, both tonight and on the field. He was the third baseman on one of the greatest teams of all time, Connie Mack's Philadelphia Athletics, the world champions, and he played with Fox, Al Simmons, Cochran, Grove, and many others on that team. And he still plays when needed and can still smack that ball. Jimmy, I understand that you're a real cigar smoker. How many a day do you chew up?
Well, I don't chew very many, but I smoke quite a lot, anywhere from between 15 and 20.
Well, why do you smoke so many?
Well, some mornings I get up a little later and I cut down on those mornings, but they sort of soothe the nerves. And coming into New York, why, the production is a little bit more because we have to meet the Yankees.
More worries and more cigars, huh? Well, I think you'd be a good bet for a cigar sponsor. But, Jimmy, we'll see how good a bet you are here tonight in our baseball game on the radio. Now, here comes the first pitch down. Jimmy Dykes puts his fist into the box, picks out a question, and he's going to try for a home run. The first question he picked is a home run question. And if he answers it correctly, he goes all the way around the bases and, of course, sets a good example for the boys that play under him. Who was the utility man on Detroit's 1935 World Champions who became famous by not playing practically every game all season?
Heinie Schubel, I would say.
How about Herman Flea Clifton?
That's true.
That was the one that we figured on, that one. So I guess we'll have to call you out on it. Heinie Schubel was on the ball club at the same time, but Clifton was the man that they paid off for not playing at all season.
Well, I never argue with the umpire.
That's a good idea, Jim. All right, that's one up and one out. And up comes the Chicago White Sox coach, Billy Webb, a former infielder, and now he's general all-around coach, and he's also former manager in the International League. And when I asked a certain sports writer a while ago about Webb, he said, well, that Webb is a very smart geezer, whatever that means. Billy, what do you do in the wintertime?
Well, I try to keep people warm in Chicago and sell them a little fuel oil with the Deep Rock Oil Company. That's a bug.
Oh, plug.
You told me.
Who are some of the men you sent to the majors, Billy?
Well, we sent Harry Gumbert to this ball club, Moses and Bell, and Monty Stratton, the boy that met with that unfortunate accident.
And of which one are you the proudest?
Well, I'm associated with Monty as the coach now, and I always have that warm spot for Monty.
All right, so we'll put you right to work now, and there are no men on bases, one out, and... I'm going to laugh because you picked in here and picked out another home run play. It seems the heavy artillery... We'll mix up the plays in the box here. It seems the heavy artillery is coming up first. All right, we'll see if you can go all the way around. Here's the question. What caused who to say, keep your shirt on? That's in baseball, we mean.
I'm afraid I'll have to miss that one.
Billy, it was in the World Series, 1925. Perhaps you'll remember it. They had a good rainstorm. Came up in Pittsburgh, the game between the Washington Senators and the Pittsburgh Pirates. They wanted to call the ball game off, and Judge Landis was there. Every time they went over to Judge and says, how about calling the ball game off? Judge says, keep your shirt on.
So, it looks like the sports writer's pitcher is mowing them down. The heavy artillery has been up 1-2, and they have gone down.
Dykstra's got his batting order wrong. Rule was in that series. He's coming in.
All right. Up comes Muddy Rule, then, the coach of the White Sox pitchers. All right, Muddy. I understand you were catcher of a very fast pitcher by the name of Walter Johnson. Was that hard on the hands?
No, it was most of hard on the opposition.
You got me there. Well, Muddy Rule is a lawyer and is the only man in major league circles to be admitted as a practicing lawyer before the United States Supreme Court. And, Muddy, do you still practice law?
Well, in a matter of fashion, I happen to be using what legal talent I have, if any, with the trust department of the Mutual Bank and Trust Company in St. Louis.
Well, looks like we're getting plugged in here. Does the law experience come in handy while dealing with the umpires out on the field?
Mostly in rebuttal.
I won't say anything more to you. All right. When you pick your play, please, and hand it over to us. And don't pick a home run. All right, he picks one. It is a home run. It is a home run play. When you mix up the... All right, here's the question. I'm sorry, it wasn't safe. What major league pitcher ever got credit for a no-hitter, although facing only 26 men? What major league pitcher got credit for a no-hitter, although facing only 26 men?
No major league pitcher ever got credit for pitching a no-hit game, only facing 26 men.
I've
got
to overrule you there, Money. Ernie Shore did in 1917 with the Boston Red Sox. Babe Ruth was a starting pitcher that day, and he walked Morgan of Washington. And he was ejected from the game. That is, Ruth was. Umpire Brick Owens threw him out for disputing a decision. Shores came in. Morgan was caught stealing second, and Shore retired the next 26 men in succession. Therefore, he got a no-hit game, and he faced only 26 men.
All right.
Three out.
All right, Stanley. Three men up and three men down. And now up comes the Yankee sports writers. And their first man is Sid Mercer of the New York Journal American. He started in baseball as secretary of the St. Louis Browns. And he's known in New York by every man, woman, boy, or girl who reads about baseball. He's had offers of many big inside jobs, but he likes to follow the teams around, and he didn't want to sit in an office, so he's still covering baseball. And Sid, what occupies your time when you're not covering baseball?
Well, boxing, football, a few other sports.
All the sports all the year round, huh?
Yeah.
Where did you break into the baseball business?
In St. Louis.
And when did you start?
I broke in there in 1904.
35 years, you've been
in. Yeah.
All right. Sid, will you pick a question here and see if you can come up and get on first base like the White Sox did not? I'm just going to pause 20 seconds here while I look at this next question, which is a home run question. And all the questions in the box are not home run questions.
Must think the Yankees are playing.
Must think the Yankees, yes. Yeah. All right, Sid Mercer swings heavy on a home run pitch. And here is the question. How long a stretch would you say the National League has gone in which every one of the eight clubs won the pennant? 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, 14... or 16?
Well, that'd take a little time, I should think, to figure up the years. The longest stretch that one team went without winning a pennant was St. Louis. They didn't win one from 1876 until 1926.
I think you're going backwards. What we're trying to figure out is the shortest stretch in which every one of the eight clubs won a pennant. That is, did it take 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, 14 or 16 years for every club in the league to win a pennant?
Well, you'd have to go back over it. We could take the Giants in 13, the Braves in 14, either the Phillies or Boston in 15, or the Boston and the Phillies in 16. Giants in 17, the Cubs in 18. The Reds in 19. Brooklyn in 20. And
the Brooklyn people.
And around the Giants again, but that doesn't take them all in. St. Louis didn't come in, and the Giants won for 4 years. Then Pittsburgh came in, and then St. Louis for the first time. That isn't 8 years. That would be from 1914 to 1926.
How many years?
12 years.
The answer is 14, Sid. You got awful close to it. Boston in 1914 started the cycle. After that, St. Louis. And St. Louis won it in 26. Between then, the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Giants, the Cards, the Reds, the Pirates, and the Cubs.
Well, 26.
You missed
14,
it by, missed
12,
it by 2 years. 8, 10, 12, 14, or 16 years.
So 14,
no.
12, 26,
12 years is correct.
12.
You're correct on that, Sid. It's a home run.
There we are. The score, Yankee sports writers 1, Chicago White Sox nothing. The first man up, Sid Mercer, swings heavily, goes all the way around the bases, and now with the bases clean, out comes Jimmy Conn of the New York Sun. And Jimmy picks the play, passes it right over to us, and it is a single. Here's a single, finally. And Jimmy Conn has this question. Of the following, which club did Bill McKechnie not play with? Cincinnati, Giants, St. Louis, Boston, and Pittsburgh.
Cincinnati.
No, he played with Cincinnati. St. Louis, he managed the St. Louis club, but he never played there. So that's one man out.
All right, there's one man down now for the Yankee sports writers, and that comes Arthur Red Patterson of the New York Herald Tribune. He's been writing baseball for about 6 years, and he's been with all three local clubs, the Yankees, the Giants, and the Dodgers. And he's also a well-known dog writer, and he's written about every sport there is. Now, covering both dogs and baseball is one of the most unusual combinations in New York. How did you get into the dog writing business, Fred?
Well, I'll tell you, Tom, the Dodgers had nothing to do about it.
I better get away from you and get right into a question here. All right, sir, he passes one over to us, and nobody on, and he picks a single. In a National League game, Red, when only two umpires are working and one is injured, what is the rule?
You take two coaches, one from either side, or two players, one from either side, and they assist with one umpire.
That's correct. That's a base hit.
One man down and one man on base. A man on first base, and up comes our home run slugger again, Sid Mercer. He picks the play out and hands it to us, and it's a single. All right, Sid, how did the Phillies get LeGrant Scott?
Never heard of him.
Well, he's a young man that beat the Giants with a pinch hit a couple of weeks ago. He got him on draft from Indianapolis, so that's two outs.
There are two outs and one run scored so far by the Yankee sports writers. And up comes Jimmy Conn. Jimmy is one of the survivors of that old New York paper, The Graphic, which had on its staff a man named W. Winchell, Louis Sobel, and Ed Sullivan, many others. And he was one of the chief vocalists in the annual baseball writers show, which he directed this year, and author of that famous song, Thomas A. Edison MacPhail, one of the song hits of the show. All right, Crooner Conn, will you step up here and pick a play and hand it over to us? He does. It's a home run play. Jimmy Conn's going to swing on a heavy one. All right, what did Pud Lumley, Jimmy Sheckard, and Tim Jordan have in common?
We all played on the Giants.
Is that your answer?
That's right.
You're wrong. We all played on the Brooklyn Dodgers, and they all led the National League in home runs.
And
three outs.
There are three outs now, and the Yankee sports writers go down, and it looks like we're going to take a stretch now after that long inning. Time for a stretch.
And during that mid-game stretch, let's have a couple of minutes of dugout gossip. Let's hear what the men who make the baseball headlines are talking about right now. All right, Stan Lomax, down in the dugout. What's the latest dope?
All right, down here we're talking to Jimmy Dykes, the manager of the White Sox. I've got him cornered. I think he's just about ready to break down and to tell all. Jimmy, what's put your team up in the first division this year?
Well, we're in the first division now, Stan. And what put us there, why, I would say just playing good baseball, getting fairly good pitching and very good defense. We haven't been hitting up to the standard. I think they can hit, but we're up there and we expect to stay there for a while.
Well, Jimmy, I remember one Sunday doubleheader last summer when you didn't have a catching or an infield or an outfield replacement due to injuries. If anybody had been hurt, you'd had to put a pitcher in to do anything, catch and play first base. I guess you remember that day. Has that jinx been trailing you again this year?
Well, so far this year, we haven't been hit by injuries. Only small ones, I would say. Joe Kuhl was out for a week with a bad knee, and Eric McNair has been out now for 2 weeks and probably won't be able to play for another week, but all the rest of the boys are in good shape.
Well, Jimmy, how about young Ken Silvestri coming right out of the association, becoming your number one catcher? He must be a dandy.
Well, he looks very good, and whether he'll continue to be good, it remains to be seen, and is entirely up to him. I've given him every chance, and he and Mike Tresh are fighting for, as they say, the number one job on our club. But Ken looks very good and looks as though he'll make the grade.
Well, Jimmy, do you think the American League is better balanced this year than it was last?
That's a rather tough question, but I would say that it is very well balanced. Of course, you have a standout club here in New York, but I believe that there's one, maybe two or three clubs in our league that are going to give them quite a battle for the pennant and stay up real close and make the American League much more interesting than it has been in the past.
Well, now, last but not least, Jimmy, are you going to play again this year?
Not unless extreme emergency set in like they did last year. I believe I could still hit, I can still see, but the spring is gone from those old legs that held up so long.
Thanks very, very much, Jimmy Dyke.
Thank you, Sam. Now our mid-game stretch is over and we're ready to resume play. The Yankee sports writers are leading the Chicago White Sox by a score of 1-0. And Jimmy Dykes is testing a bat. Umpire Lomax has resumed his place behind the catcher, and Tom Slater behind the pitcher.
Play one!
And here comes the first ball. It's a fast one right over the plate, and Jimmy Dyke is going to swing on it. Jimmy Dyke. And he passes us the question, and it's a question submitted by Fred Kruckman of Ridgewood, New York. And the question is, who was the opposing pitcher when Babe Ruth called his shot in the 1932 World Series?
I believe it was Charlie Root.
Correct. That's a base hit.
And the man goes on first base. All right, and up comes Billy Webb. Billy, will you pick one and hand it over to us? All right, it's a single, a man on first base, and a single being swung on by Billy Webb. Here it comes right down the alley. What is Babe Herman's real name?
Floyd.
Correct, that's a base hit.
All right, two men up and two men on bases. And here is Muddy Rule. He picked his question, hands it over to us, and it's a single. Two men on, chance to fill the bases. Is Lefty O'Doul still an active player?
Yes, he is still an active player.
That's correct. That's a base hit. He played just last week with a San Francisco club.
And so Muddy Rule goes steaming down the first base, and up again comes manager Jimmy Dykes. He picks one and hands it to us, and it's a chance to knock in a score and tie up the ball game. Here it is. Name three Yankees other than Ruth to win American League home run title. To win the title.
Well, I start off with Lou Gehrig.
That's one.
And I guess Bob Musil.
That's two.
The thinker.
A little tough. There's quite a few of them hit quite a few. Who led that league?
The time's getting short.
Well, I'll just have to say that I can't guess the other one.
How about Joe DiMaggio or Wally Pipp? Either one of them.
All right, the bases are still loaded, and one man goes out. That's right, Sam. And here's Billy Webb again, Chicago White Sox coach. He picks a single, hands it over to us. With Vince DiMaggio out of the majors, are there any sets of brothers still in the big time?
Farrell brothers.
That's correct. Also, the Wainers with Pittsburgh. That's a hit and a run.
And there's a run, and the score is tied. The score, 1-1. The score is tied, and the bases are still loaded, and up comes Muddy Rule. And there's one out. That's right, there's one out. All right, here it is. Who is Lona Coning Lefty?
He's a coal man.
How about Robert Moses Grove, the Lona Coning Lefty?
All right, there are two outs, and the bases are still loaded, and the score is tied, 1-1. The batting order is terrible, says the manager, Jimmy Dykes. All right, MGR, it's your fault. It's a single now, and it looks like a long one. If you were a scout and wanted to buy players from Norfolk
in the Piedmont League, Elmira in the Eastern, and Rochester in the International, that is, if you had the money, what major league team would you suspect owned the boys? That's Norfolk, Elmira, and Rochester.
Well, Elmira belongs to Brooklyn, Rochester to the Cardinals. Norfolk, I'd say.
You can't buy their star pitcher.
Well, I guess it's the Yankees.
You hit it. That's a hit. That's a base hit.
And not sent a run, and the score now is 2-1 in favor of the Chicago White Sox. Two men down, and here's Billy Webb, and the bases are still loaded. It's a single. What three pitchers are in the Hall of Fame?
Johnson.
Correct for one.
Cy Young.
Correct for two.
Alexander.
Correct for three. Another base hit.
And another run. And the score now, well, a sustained drive here. The score is 3-1. While the Yankee writers sit here and gnash their teeth. Here's the single. Did the great home run Baker ever hit more than 14 home runs while winning the championship back in 1911, 12, 13, and 14?
No.
That's right. His best was 12. He had 12 home runs to be American League batting home run champion.
And another run comes in. Another run comes in, and up comes MGR manager Jimmy Dykes. And he has a single, a question that is a single, and a chance to stretch it to a double. But we'll give you the question first that means a single. The question, has a National League catcher ever made an unassisted double play?
I'll guess on that and say no.
You're wrong. There's three of them have made it. Mickey Owen, Al Lopez, and Mike Gonzalez have all made unassisted double plays.
And so Jimmy Dykes comes up, the base is loaded, whiffs on that one, and the side goes down, and three men are stranded on bases. But four runs have been knocked in, and up comes Sid Mercer, the man responsible for the only run so far for the Yankee sports writers. Sid, will you pick your play, please? Picks it, hands it over to us, and we look at it as the ball comes down the old stream. And here's the question. Is George Yuel still pitching baseball?
U-H-L-E, you mean?
George Yulee, yeah.
Yulee, I'm sorry.
Yes, he is.
That's correct. He pitched for the Buffalo Bisons the other day and won a ball game. Went in his relief.
Right, and so Sid Mercer goes down the line to first base. Standing up. And here comes Jimmy Conn, the crooner of the New York Sun. He picks his question, hands it over to us, and it's a single. What is the maximum length of a bat?
I think it's 40 inches.
Wrong. 42 inches. That's one out.
One out, and a man still on bases for the Yankee sports writers. And here's Arthur Red Patterson. And he picks the play and gives it to us, and it's a single. How many pitchers did the Yankees use in sweeping the 1938 World Series with the Cubs?
Three.
Wrong. Four. Ruffing, Gomez, Pearson, and Murphy.
So there are two outs and one man still on bases, and he's out there on first base, and he's rather lonesome. And let's see if Sid Mercer can give him any company out on the bases. Sid picks the play and passes it over to us, and it's a single, but there's a chance for a double in it. Chance to push that man on around to second and then to third. Let's see now. For the single, here's the question. Name three players who wore Yankee, Dodger, and Giant uniforms.
That's the old duel.
Correct for one.
Lazzeri.
Correct for two.
Burley Grimes.
Correct for three. Now, if you want to try for a double, just name a fourth.
That actually played or belonged?
Actually played.
You can rest on first if you want.
If you don't want to take it, you can rest.
Oh, I can't think of a fourth one.
How about Wade Hoyt and Al Mamaw? Two more.
All right, there's a man on first and a man on second, and there are two outs for the Yankee sports writers. And here is Jimmy Conn again of the New York Sun. And it's a question sent in by George Herlihy of the Bronx in New York. And here's the question. What is a John Anderson in baseball parlance?
I can't hit any better than Bo Sorge.
That's stealing second with the bases full.
All right, and so two men were stranded on bases, and down go the Yankee sports writers, and no score in that inning. And up comes the Chicago White Sox again, and here's the manager, Jimmy Dykes. He picks his question, gives it over to us. They have a nice, safe lead, it looks like, going in the last few minutes of the game. The score, 4 for Chicago, 1 for the Riders. And he picks a single. Who were Bob the Gob, Big Six Bad News, and the Flying Dutchman? I'll give those again. Bob the Gob, Big Six, Bad News, and the Flying Dutchman. You get all these complicated
Flying
questions.
Dutchman was Honest Wagner.
That's correct.
And Bob the Gob, I believe, was Bob Shawkey.
That's correct.
And may I ask?
Big Six.
Was Christy Mathewson.
And Bad News.
Hale, I
think. That's right. Bad News Hale. That's a one base set.
So Jimmy Dykes goes speeding right down to first base, and here is Billy Webb, coach of the Chicago White Sox. And he picks a home run question with one man on the bases. And this question was sent in by George Hurley of the Bronx, and it looks tough enough that it has a home run rating. What Major League club opened its gates free to all comers for a regular league game, and why did they do it?
The St. Louis Browns turned over the gates to the stockholders a couple of years back. I believe we were playing in that town. I believe it was last year.
Now, that's not the question is, what club opened the gates, let anybody who wanted to walk in and see the game for a regular American League game? There was no admission charge whatsoever.
I believe they had ball and bat day during the times of the war, and they allowed them all in, around 1918 in there.
Well, the record one is, it actually happened. The New York Highlanders, that's the old Yankees, had no rain checks on their opening day when they played up at 168th Street and Broadway. The game was broken up by rain about the third inning, and to make good, they had to let everybody that wanted to come in the next day free. So we've got to call you out.
So that's one out and one man on bases, and up comes Muddy Rule. He picks a single. Christy Mathewson never graduated from a college or university. Is that right or wrong? A lot of help out here in the audience, out in the stands.
I would guess that he did not graduate from a college.
He graduated from Bucknell.
And so there are two outs, and up comes Jimmy Dyke, and there's still a man on first base. Jimmy picks a question, passes it over to us, and it's a chance for a double. The question was sent in by Nick Grasso of Newark, New Jersey. Who holds the record for hitting safely in the most consecutive Major League games?
I believe George Sisler.
That's correct. And wait a second, chance for a double. You remember how many games? Or do you want to rest at first?
I'll stay on first.
He hit in 41 consecutive games.
All right, there are two outs and a man on first and a man on second, and here's Billy Webb again. And Billy picks a single. Did Luke Appling ever hit 380?
He hit over 380.
That's right, he hit 388 in 1936.
And so there's a man on first, second, and third, and up comes Muddy Rule again. He picks his play, hands it over to us, and it's a single with a chance to stretch it to a double. This question submitted by Fred Kruckman of Ridgewood, New York. Who was the last pitcher to hurl a no-hitter in the majors?
Vandermeer.
Monty Pearson, August 1938, later than Vandermeer. You're out.
And so, with that out and the Chicago White Sox going down, darkness overtakes us, and that's the end of the game.
It's all over, fans. The Chicago White Sox have beaten the Yankee sports writers by the score of 4-1. And here's umpire Stan Lomax once again to say goodnight.
Well, it was a nice game of ball, and I hope you fans out there in the air enjoyed it as much as we did here in the stands. If some of you think that you can strike out these big leaguers and experts, send us your questions with the answers. We'll try them out, and for each one we use, we'll mention your name. Send your questions and answers to me, Stan Lomax, WOR, Newark, New Jersey. No questions can be returned, and of course, all questions become the property of WOR. Now, that takes care of this evening's game. We've got others coming. I hope you'll be with us again next Friday night at 10 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time. And once again, you'll hear that old familiar yell,
hit that ball!
Good night, all.
Program with Dan Lomax. Umpire on the bases with Tom Slater. Your announcer, Carlton Warren. Hit That Ball was produced under the direction of Roger Bauer and originated in the New York studios of WOR. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.